Weltbeweger.
Gespräche über Gottes Wirken heute und Mission weltweit.
Welcome to today's episode of the Allianz Mission Podcast. My name is Felix Wiegner and I'm thrilled to have a very special guest with us today, Ridina Kulanici.
Hello, Felix.
Hello, Ridina. She is a fundraising consultant based in the UK, serving Christian ministries across Europe, and has extensive experience in helping churches and organizations think strategically about funding mission. Today, we are diving into the concept of polycentric resource mobilization, a term that speaks to the need for mission funding and support structures that are diverse, global, and interdependent. We want to explore how this concept can reshape the way we mobilize resources for world mission, particularly in a German church context. Because Germany has historically been a strong sending nation in world mission, but we are now in a time of transition, facing new challenges and opportunities in how we support and fund mission efforts. What can we learn from the Global South? Ridina, it's an honor to have you here. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Felix.
And before we dive into the topic, maybe could you share a bit about your background? Where do you come from and how did you gain your expertise in fundraising and resource mobilization?
I originally come from Albania. I came to the UK about 31 years ago to study theology at Spurgeon's College in London. And as I was at the college getting my master's degree in theology there, I won a scholarship to do some research on trends of giving and stewardship amongst evangelical Christians in the UK. So really my journey into fundraising began when I was awarded the scholarship and I looked at how is the UK church supporting missions? What is the teaching about giving and generosity in the UK church? And in what ways do believers give? You know, what kind of involvement do they want from churches and the organizations they support? And during those that time for the research, I actually spent 2 years in Oxford working on this project. I met hundreds of church leaders and ministry leaders and fundraisers, and spending time with them really opened my eyes to the great need that is in the UK and in many Western countries, probably including Germany, for sound biblical teaching in the local church to unlock the generosity of believers so they can really support God's mission with all that God has given them, with their money, with their skills, with their prayers, and also for Christian organizations to really learn how to communicate with their supporters, how to inspire them, how to really encourage them on their journey of becoming more generous and more involved in world mission. So really that those 2 years I spent at, you know, in the end of the sort of 1990s really opened the door for me to kind of step into this world of Christian ministries and churches and then dedicate the next 20 plus years of my working life to helping them to apply biblical principles of fundraising into their work, to see fundraising as a ministry and not as a burden, and to really, you know, build effective and wonderful relationships with their supporters so that they can together fulfill God's mission, you know, accelerate the fulfillment of the Great Commission. And during the last 20 years, I have traveled extensively into Europe and further afield to Australia and other parts of the world to teach and train ministry leaders. But I have also seen sometimes this, you know, sometimes some discrepancies or saying, well, why what we are teaching doesn't kind of take root in some particular contexts? And why do leaders in some countries in the developing world maybe are a bit kind of hostile towards fundraising, or they have expectations that they can do the work, but somebody else will send the money from abroad? And it wasn't really until kind of 6 or 7 years ago when I got involved with the Lausanne movement, with the Ministry Fundraising Network within Lausanne, that I started to engage with the global mission leaders from a different perspective and see what is happening with fundraising and with mobilization of resources for mission. And during this time, really, I have kind of come to understand better some of the challenges and some of the shifts that have happened in World Mission, and maybe offer some new insights and advice to fundraisers in countries like Germany and the UK, but also to fundraisers and mission leaders in the Global South, so that we can learn to kind of foster interdependence and work well together.
Wow, you're truly an expert in your field. Thank you so much for taking your time today with us. Could you, because this is a topic for today's podcast, briefly explain what polycentric resource mobilization means and why it is becoming an increasingly relevant concept for World Mission?
Well, polycentric resource mobilization, to put it simply, is a new approach, or maybe not so new because we can see it in the scriptures as well. It's a funding approach for missions that acknowledges the multiple centers of leadership, of giving, and of sending. Historically, we have, you know, the money or the funding for missions and the people for missions have kind of gone from the global north, from places like the United States, England, Germany, the Netherlands, and other parts of the Western world, to the global south, to countries we have considered places with no Christian witness or no church. So for hundreds of years, funds and people have gone from the north to the global south, to the rest of the world, to establish churches, build schools, build hospitals, build Bible colleges and theological training. And we have done a lot of good things like this. You know, that commitment, the generosity of the Western church has been amazing. But what we see, especially in the last 30 years of church growth and development around the world, is that the center of Christianity has shifted from the global north to the global south. Now, the places where the church is growing the fastest are Africa, Latin America, and parts of East Asia or South Asia. So with this growth of church in the global south, there are new ways of raising funds and new ways of doing mission that we need to understand and acknowledge. And some of these church movements in the global south have also begun to send missionaries to us, to the global north. We have a growth of diaspora churches, for example, in the UK, in other parts of Europe as well. We see African or black churches in France that are growing and thriving Pentecostal churches, you know, and other parts of the world. We see movements of, for example, Korean missionaries. You know, once we were the largest sending nation, today Korea is the second largest sending nation of missionaries around the world, you know, after the United States. So in a sense, mission funding is not just flowing from the West to the rest of the world, but now mission funding and people are going from everywhere to everywhere. So the demographics of giving have shifted. The centers of global mission have shifted. The centers of global leadership and theological thinking have shifted. They are not just resting with us. So in this changing environment, polycentric resource mobilization is simply how we do fundraising for now and for going forward. In what ways can we actually work together? How can we contribute to God's mission? And there is really a biblical example of this. When I said at the beginning that this isn't a new approach, this is an approach rooted in scripture. We see this example, for example, in Acts 11, verses 29 to 30, where believers in Antioch, which was a Gentile majority church, sent relief, sent help to Christians in Judea. So we read that the disciples, as each was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. So this was, in a sense, even at that time, a reversal of the traditional flow of resources, showing that mission support can move in multiple directions, not just in one direction. So this is, you know, this is something exciting and wonderful to see. And there are examples of this even today. In a meeting we had a few months ago, one of the church leaders of a movement in Kenya spoke or shared the story of how his church sent 20,000 euros to one of their church plants in Romania to support the church in their ministry, in their outreach to the Ukrainians as the war between Ukraine and Russia started. Mm-hmm. So here was a black church in Kenya, you know, sending money to that, to their church plant in Romania to actually help, you know, right there in the middle of Europe. An example, a practical example of polycentric resource mobilization.
Wonderful, great. In your opinion, how does this polycentric mobilization addresses the issues of dependency, sustainability, and partnership between the global North and global South?
Yes, I think, I mean, in a sense, you know, the funding, the previous funding model that has been in place, or sometimes the funding model that is perhaps supported a lot in some of the nations, has created the kind of dependencies that are harmful to the church in the global South. Through the monocentric model, we created dependencies in the global South. And by global South, I mean even countries so close to Germany as, you know, other countries in Central Europe or former Eastern Europe or the Balkans. As I said, I'm originally from Albania. I have seen over the years how funding from churches and mission communities in the West has sometimes done more harm than good to the growth of the church.
Please explain more.
Yes, I can explain more. For example, when some mission agency went to Albania with an idea of, okay, we want to go to this region to plant a church. So they will find a few believers in that inner town and say, right, we will give you money. We will build a church for you so you can do this work. So these believers, yes, they dedicate their life to serving God and the church is built and the community gathers, but they become hesitant to teach their congregation about the responsibility of continuing to fund local mission efforts. So every year they look to Germany, they look to Switzerland, they look to their Western partners to provide the money for the pastor's salary, to provide the money for the widows and orphans outreach, to provide the money for the Sunday, for the summer camp program. When in fact the congregation has grown to 80 or 100, and this congregation can itself, through their giving, fund some of these activities and mobilize, you know, the work in the local community. But the leaders now feel they don't want to do any fundraising because it is easier to go and tell their story to a foreigner to show some photos in a church and receive the money they need. I mean, I think we want to bless and encourage believers in Germany and other countries to continue to give, but also we want to make the church and ministries in these countries aware that sometimes by being the main funder of mission activities abroad, we create expectations that this is other people's gospel. It is not the gospel of the Albanians or the gospel of the Ghanaians or, you know, the gospel of the people of Tanzania, but it's the gospel of the Germans or of the Americans or of the British, because local people never take ownership of the message of Christ and never really are even given a chance to play a role in helping build ministries and partnerships within the local communities. So rather than having mutual support, we create dependencies. We also create problems around accountability and transparency, because if the money comes from another nation or from a denomination or a mission agency and is given to a leader, then the leader feels he doesn't have to tell local believers or other members of, you know, of the leadership team or even the ministry workers as to how much funding has arrived and how that funding should be used. Sometimes those ministries who are sending the funding dictate what programs should this funding be invested in. So the local leaders feel disempowered. They have no chance to really put the money to projects as they feel are urgent and imperative, but the money has to be directed to projects that the funders want. And on the other hand, they also don't feel the need to be accountable to local believers, to the local community they serve, because they only want to be accountable to the funder. So this can create often problems in the ground, because people will say, well, they've received maybe more money than in fact they have received. What did they do with it? How was this money used? And these kind of questions in believers' heads make it really hard for them to make a contribution to this ministry in the future. Because first of all, they think this ministry is funded by Germans, so they are doing okay. And secondly, they think, I don't know what they do with that money, so why should I give to them? So by continually sending money, being the main funder of projects and ministries in the developing world, we perhaps cause more problems than good. And we actually at the same time stop them from growing, from developing. But what, in a sense, polycentric resource mobilization, a way of inviting these ministry leaders to the table, of listening to them, of genuinely building the kind of partnership that says, we will co-fund this project with you. So you, local believers, the local church, will take responsibility in also supplying funds, in praying for this, in bringing in what God has blessed you with. And we also will bring funds to this. But at the same time, we will bring tools and knowledge and ways to help you to become more sustainable in the future, so that we are not creating these unequal partnerships, but that partnership and collaboration is built more on an equal ground. You know, I sometimes work with ministries, for example, in Europe, in Slovakia or the Czech Republic or France or Italy, where they have grown to be self-sustainable. They have not had outside funding. And it is really interesting to see the dynamics and the way they work together to fundraise. And even though these ministries might not have the wealth of other ministries that have received a lot more, I think God has blessed them and has kept them kind of authentic and people with, you know, leaders with integrity, because they have felt God has called me to serve my nation. If God calls, God supplies. But the way God supplies might be different from our expectations, also might be different from, you know, let's throw a lot of money to a problem and hope it is solved. We have seen in the charity world that sometimes large amounts of money don't equate with more mission, more people saved, more disciples. You know, it's sometimes even small is beautiful. So a new approach to fundraising also opens our eyes to see, where is God at work in these nations? How can we go where God is moving, and also give God's people in that place opportunities to see God at work by finding resources locally, by mobilizing, for example, volunteers, prayer partners, different ways of doing mission, not just our standard ways with everybody being in full-time employment and paid or self-supported. And then we can go along and be part of God's work, rather than us dictating how the work is to be done, because we are the ones bringing the money to it.
Yeah. I think there are two different topics in this. One is a dependency, and this is the spirit I know from the Lions Mission 2. It was great, like having churches willingful and spirit-filled and with the eagerness to build a hospital somewhere and help people and fund everything. And people really went to access to give a lot of money to serve God.
Yes.
To be like Jesus. But now we see that we created a lot of dependencies and put people small when we could help them to grow for themselves in the countries. So this is one topic. And maybe you could share a little bit on how can churches or organizations shift from this former kind of engaging to a more polycentric way of doing this?
Yes, I think churches and ministries can shift their perspective. First of all, by looking at our brothers and sisters in different parts of the world and seeing them how God sees them, as people who have been called for a mission, as people who are capable to unlock resources, to think through, you know, how to build a hospital or a school or to reach their own people, as those who can read the scripture by themselves and through the Spirit, you know, understand God's word. So it's seeing them as, you know, as equal to us. I think sometimes at the basis of this, of the sort of, you know, the approach that, oh, we are the ones to help, is this understanding of them as helpless, as poor, as not capable to do anything, as kind of trapped in difficult situations. And when we go to them as the savior, you know, not, in fact, Jesus is the savior, not us. Then we're just pouring resources and trying to do everything. I think stepping back from that kind of savior mentality or rescuer mentality and trusting God, trusting that God will provide, trusting that God will open doors. I think it's almost like our attitude has to be like that of the missionaries of the past. You know, they went to a country believing that God had called them. They didn't take a lot of financial resources with them. And they went and lived among the people, learned the language, served sacrificially. So what does, for the Western Church or for the Western mission agencies, what does that sacrificial giving or sacrificial service look like? So it's not about us going there with all the answers, with a pocket full of money, you know, with airplanes, with laptops, with mobile phones and saying, hey, we are here to solve your biggest problems so you can reach the unreached. But going there with humility and saying, God has called us to serve alongside you. Let's pray together for the solutions. Let's see how, you know, what is it that we can bring to the table with humility rather than, you know, with arrogance and with power and teaching them in Western ways. I see this a lot when I do fundraising training in different cultures. And I am also now learning a lot more about cultures and about decision-making in different cultures and how, you know, storytelling in different cultures. Because even when we go to teach and train, we teach leadership principles from a Western perspective. We teach fundraising from a Western perspective. You know, in cultures that are community-driven cultures, we try and teach individual giving, like go and find somebody to give you lots of money. Well, that doesn't work in Kenya. They give together. They give after they've had a meal. Or, you know, I look at the church in Mizoram. I mean, the example, the story of handful of rice is a very well-known story. But if you talk to leaders from Mizoram, which is, incidentally, one of the poorest states in India, you see how the church there supports missions so generously. And it goes beyond the handful of rice into the chickens of the Lord and the families that are engaged in supporting local missionaries who have gone to other parts of India, putting aside a little bit of money every month and then going to somebody's house to hear the missionary story. And they have taken with them the same amount that they would spend if they went on a bus journey to go and see the missionary. And they've done this by selling some eggs or by, you know, selling jam in the market or making bread or all kinds of innovative ways of doing mission. And this is just local, ordinary people with very little. But God multiplies what they give for their purposes. So I think for us to go, to listen, to learn, to be able to support some of the initiatives, yes, there is a case when there is famine, when there is struggle, when there is persecution, we step up and help in a large scale because that is needed for a time. But when it comes to discipleship, to church planting, to church growth, I think our role is to walk alongside them in the almost in their shadow rather than us kind of dictating how things could be done. You know, go and do a big crusade, go and build another school and college, and let them to actually say and kind of speak as to how things need to be done. So in a sense, this shift is already happening. Like there is a rise of indigenous-led fundraising in different parts of the world. There are ministries in Africa, in Asia, in Latin America that are doing this really well with their own funding mechanisms, and they are not dependent on Western cultures. So let's tell their stories. Let's have a platform for us to tell the German church, to tell the German missions, to tell other missions, the stories from the developing world, from these places, from the global south. How is God funding his work around the world? Mm-hmm. And these stories will be useful learning for us, but also will be useful for other ministries in similar countries, in similar situations. And also let's kind of another trend that we see in this polycentric giving movement is, you know, the growth of the marketplace missions. Now, so many Christian leaders, Christian entrepreneurs are also thinking about giving to mission by actually setting up and running businesses, and then the profits from these businesses being plowed into mission work, about thinking in some places of innovative ways of funding mission. And I'm not just thinking of, you know, foreign agencies doing this, but I've come across an enterprise like this actually in Tanzania that's called Soma Biblia. And this is a Christian bookstore and publishing ministry run by Tanzanians that generates income through their printing work. But they are in, you know, their focus is producing Bible teaching resources, magazines, books for pastors, for children, for teachers, for Sunday schools in their local language. So here is a Christian business using their profit into kingdom work, into evangelistic tools, resources that are authentic. They are not just, you know, made from like translating other people's teaching. This is actually Tanzanian pastors, leaders writing and speaking to their nation in their own language. And the third sort of shift or something that we can, as a church in Germany or churches and ministries elsewhere, also kind of bring or come on board is, you know, helping understand how things like realizing the power of small is beautiful. And this is the reciprocity game. I mean, 2 years ago, I went to a Wesleyan church in Quezon City in the Philippines to visit this church on a Sunday during a Sunday service. And I learned so much from this congregation of 70 people. You know, they had a wonderful worship service. And then after the worship service, they had this discipleship class for new believers. So young people from the congregation were tasked with the job of teaching new believers basic principles of scripture. So it wasn't the minister, it was actually two or three leaders of the youth group, and they took a group of 13, 14 new Christians, and they played a couple of games, and they did a short Bible study after the church service, and just gave them an opportunity to learn. But this was the empowerment. We talk about giving young people opportunities, giving young leaders. In the Philippines, in that church that met in a kind of double garage space or garage, this was a community of believers, of young leaders putting this into practice, teaching discipleship lessons to, you know, to the new Christians. And we had a shared meal together after this for whoever wanted to stay. And I was talking to the pastor and his wife, and they said, as a church, they are together out of their Sunday offerings, supporting 12 children with compassion. So here is again a working class church in the Philippines using their offering to support 12 children and also taking a strong, keen interest in supporting families, Filipino families, whose family members are working abroad, like constantly praying for these family members so they don't fall to temptations and the families and marriages don't break up. So these were just a few learnings that I got just spending a Sunday service with them. And I think if we are, when we talk about collaboration, when we talk about partnerships, if we as German churches are also open up to the opportunities to learn from how ministry is happening in different parts of the world, are there useful things that they are doing in terms of their sacrificial giving of time, of gifts, of opportunities that we can apply into our churches, then this is something we can receive from them. You know, we might still be funding some of the work of these communities, but we are not just, you know, that giving is not a one-way street. We will also be on the receiving end of their knowledge, of their prayers, of their love, of ideas that we can use, you know. So we are bringing them to the table in this partnership as equals, not just as those who are the beneficiaries and they send us some newsletters and tell us what they've done with our money. No, no, we are listening to them as well.
Yeah. Wow, great. This links to the second part of what I said before. because we have to listen, we have to learn from the others. And something that comes through what you just said is generosity.
Yes.
It's such a major point to unlock God's generosity and the thinking of it, how you explained it. And maybe from this perspective, what we as a Western organization have to learn, and especially in German churches have to learn, maybe you have some experience in the UK on this topic. And if you think of organizations, what do you think, what are the biggest challenges we face today in fundraising and funding, mobilizing resources?
I think for us in the West, the biggest challenges we face, whether it is in the church or in Christian organizations, Christian ministries, is that our churches generally in the West are getting small and are getting older. So we see, you know, despite the fact that a lot of people still continue to give very generously, and Christians are, you know, without doubt, at least in the UK, the most generous donors in our society. Is
same in Germany.
Yes. And they give both to Christian and also other causes, international development, children, and so on. So we have got like a good structure of support, a good structure of support for mission and good structure of support for various activities. But the numbers are declining, and the decline in numbers also shows in the total amounts, you know, donated to churches and to mission agencies. So I think for the new generations of people coming in the church, I think this concept of polycentric can be applied in the context of the local church. So we cannot assume anymore that these people know what the Bible says about giving, about stewardship, about generosity. You know, our churches in the past were kind of birds of a feather flock together, people growing in Christian homes and continuing with their faith, or there was an understanding of tithing and giving and supporting work. Now we have so many people coming to our churches from completely non-religious backgrounds, or even from other faith backgrounds, or people from minorities in our countries, or, you know, people from other cultures kind of coming into the British church or the German church. So the task of the church becomes, okay, how do we continually teach and inspire believers in our churches to become generous givers? And I liken this to encouraging people to learn how, you know, to teaching people how to pray. Not everybody is a prayer warrior, and nobody becomes a prayer warrior overnight. But there is so much out there in the local church, in-house groups, books, resources, conferences that teach you how to pray. You know, do you want to pray? Do you want to unlock God's, you know, plan for you through prayer? How prayer can help you grow closer to God and everything else. And prayer is our main tool. It's our main, you know, way of connecting with God, of communing with God. But there is very little teaching or willingness on behalf of the leaders to teach their congregation members how to give. So we assume that when we tell one or two stories of need, that people will put their hand in their pocket and give. And sometimes people do. But this is very sporadic and utilitarian. When we look at the Bible, you know, the opening verses of Genesis are about God creating the man and the woman and giving them dominion over all the earth. So in a sense, our identity is the identity of a steward. We are stewards of God's wealth. We are stewards of relationships. We are stewards of our world, of everything in it. So it's how can we as church leaders teach congregation members to be good stewards? And that includes teaching and encouraging members to be generous givers. And then, you know, into this, bringing stories of generosity, stories from other cultures, stories that giving isn't just about money or isn't about us being in a position of power, so we can tell the rest of the world what to do because we give them money and we give them funds and so on. And, you know, integrating the right way of teaching about this and giving people ample opportunities to practice generosity. Generosity with their neighbors, generosity to supporting local causes, generosity to continue to give to projects around the world. But not doing this in a kind of transactional way, but doing it in a relational way. So I come back to the idea of, you know, inviting, for example, German churches to partner, say, with African churches and Asian churches in co-funding mission initiatives. So we can still go to different parts of the world where there are needs, where there are unreached people, but not do these initiatives on our own, not be the ones who bankroll the projects, but say, here you are, dear brothers and sisters, you know, in Malaysia. Let's pray together with, for example, the Malaysian church or with, you know, with Christians in say, in a part of Uganda or Nigeria or wherever we go and say, yes, we would love to be part of this, but let's pray. Let's do this together. What is it you will bring to the table? What is it we will bring to the table? So we should not assume that primary financial responsibility anymore, but share that responsibility with others so that we can be more transparent, but also give them opportunities, you know, to pray, to go and ask their friends, their partners to serve in different ways. And also as mission agencies, I think we should be prepared that to accept that the way our mission will be done in these countries will be different from how it is done, for example, in our homeland. And I'll briefly mention here, last year I did some training for Youth for Christ in Eastern Europe, Western Balkans, and Eurasia. And we had a team together of 40 fundraisers. And the lady that spoke, for example, from Armenia, shared the story of how they are doing the ministry of Youth for Christ in Armenia. Now, if you are, for example, Youth for Christ in the UK, then or in America, maybe you work with this model of setting up your own activities, doing your own summer camps and all kinds of things. Well, this wasn't applicable in Armenia. So what they did right from the beginning, 14 years ago, is try to get church leaders together to buy into the idea that children and youth work is part of the ministry of the local church. And Youth for Christ in Armenia, that small team of a few people, would support and encourage and resource the local church to be good at doing summer camps, at doing discipleship classes. And the director of Youth for Christ Armenia said, in that first meeting of 67 church leaders, only one agreed to this model. But over time, they see 14, 15 churches every year join them. And in this way, even with a very small team of workers, they are able to have a huge impact because they are not using their traditional ministry model. They have designed a ministry model that is suitable for their local context. So let's allow our mission partners, let's give them freedom and opportunities to actually create their own, you know, mission models or ministry and outreach models that make sense in their cultures and that involve local believers, that involve local churches and ministries in the work, rather than go and set up something on our own and then we end up kind of perpetually funding it and supporting it in the future.
I just love what you said about listening first, praying together, yes, co-funding and collaboration.
Yes.
Collaboration is a key in the future. We both were at the L4 in Seoul. It was a privilege. It was great to be together with so many Christians from different countries. And collaboration, especially in fundraising, is something, as lead in Western organizations, is a taboo because you don't talk about money.
Yes.
And collaboration is like, okay, let's work together, but really to fundraise together. How can you give a good example maybe of how this could work in the future?
Yes. I think this can work in the future in that context, again, of learning from each other. I think if there is such a thing as a theory of fundraising in a Christian context, let's say for the sake of the argument there is. I mean, it's the kind of the you know, the total collection of how we read scripture regarding fundraising. And all of us do read from a certain cultural perspective, or also including there our experiences and, you know, what kind of the way God has revealed his word to us. So this learning that has happened, I think the first step in that collaboration is really sitting with fundraisers from different parts of the world and learning together. so we can understand what do they see in scripture when it comes to biblical principles of fundraising. What stories would they go to? How do those stories make sense in their contexts? So that we are not kind of saying, you know, sometimes collaboration is, okay, I'm somebody with funding, you know, from the United States. I run this big fundraising teaching ministry. So I'll come to you and collaborate in quotation marks because I can afford to go anywhere and because I will come whether I'm invited or not. And people will listen because they will respect in cultures where there is respect and they want to genuinely learn. So you think, well, if you have arrived here, maybe you have something valuable to share. And a lot of these leaders have valuable things to share, but those are not contextualized because they come from a different culture, from a different understanding. And I think in different parts of the world, there are, you know, theologians, there are Bible teachers, there are pastors who understand scripture and generosity. So I would say we need, true collaboration is about all of us reading the scriptures together, learning from each other what the scripture says about fundraising. So our perspectives are enriched. And also for ministries at practical level, it could be developing these mutual giving models. So mission partners can contribute financially and spiritually to shared mission goals. So a mission agency from Germany or churches that support some projects would say, okay, there are five of, you know, there is us in Germany and there are these partners in Nepal. You know, let's say, okay, we will, for these projects, this is the funding we will commit. But we also encourage you to find funding locally, not to go to other international partners and bring the money. Because often you see these ministries in the global south that they have five international partners, but zero local partners. So to be able to say, right, what training, what support do you need to actually learn how to raise funds locally? And this will be your contribution to this. And I think I'm aware because I do this with some mission partners. Before Christmas, I was working with a Swedish agency with their partners in Nepal and Bangladesh and India. And they are finding now that the funding they received from the Swedish government stopped. So these partners, you know, what the Swedish partner can give to them is considerably less than what they've been used to spending. So sometimes it's necessity that will force these leaders to think differently. And we don't have to reach that point of becoming urgent and the ministry either stops or goes for secular funding and loses its Christian identity. But we can take time, like intentionally change our approach from a mono-funding model to mutual giving model or collaborative giving model. And then begin to say to partners, what kind of training, what kind of help do you need? You know, here are some principles. How could they work in your context? How can we help you to start doing things differently? And let's pray a lot together as well, because I believe God can pave the way for a different way of doing things. And the third thing we can do in this collaboration, and I think this is something we are trying to do in our ministry fundraising network at Lausanne, is encourage diverse leadership. So invite leaders from the global south into decision-making roles. You know, invite leaders from different parts of the world to say, yes, we will own this. We will be part of this. We will be also the ones who deliver the teaching, the training, the sharing of stories, from different perspectives. So for me, it's about learning from scripture together, understanding the biblical principles. It's about developing these mutual giving models for our shared mission goals and believing in God's generosity. I mean, God doesn't want us to walk around with our hand closed that, oh, I'm not going to tell Felix about funding for this because I want it all for myself. I think if we do that, then actually funding dries up and the work is no longer fruitful for the kingdom. You know, serving with open hands, being generous, being willing to contribute, being willing to share, but having mutual goals rather than We have the funding goals and they have the ministry goals. And making our leadership and decision-making truly diverse. So, you know, equal collaboration means you have the same power around the table as I do, although my financial contribution might be bigger, but you should be able to bring all these other elements to contribute in all these different ways to the work. So it's like co-developing mission strategies as well. They are on the ground. They know what's truly needed. So let's not go somewhere with our preconceived ideas, because that's where we want to spend the money, but really give those leaders opportunities to invest in things that really matter for God there in their local context.
Yeah. Wonderful. Looking ahead, what gives you hope when you think about the future of mission and resource mobilization?
I think what gives me hope is seeing, you know, thriving churches and ministries in the global South who are doing wonderful things for God, and also ministries in our context in Germany or, you know, or in the UK or other parts of Europe. I mean, you know, I just spent last week with a group of leaders from an international mission agency, and they were all Europeans. And I got so excited to hear what God is doing in Norway and in Denmark and in France and Germany and Sweden, and just seeing their heart and their passion for mission. And it's like, it just made me realize, you know, that mission belongs to the whole church. We don't have a monopoly on mission. You know, God's mission belongs to the whole church. And next week I'll be speaking to charismatic, to Pentecostal leaders who, you know, run a network of 7,000 churches in Latin America. And they are looking at ways of expanding and growing, you know, their giving. And their leader is really interested in seeing this indigenous fundraising. So like God is putting this message. I mean, we toil away in our organizations, and we have seen this vision of what it could be with polycentric resource mobilization. But God is also touching other people's hearts. So as we make these connections, we see that God has called us all together to serve in this together. So it's not just us in the West, you know, it's the whole church. Again, I'm also working with a network in South Korea prior to the arrival of Doulos Hope in South Korea, which will be, you know, later on this year. Like, how can South Korean churches get engaged in supporting the mission and ministry of OM ships in a more meaningful ways for the church, and you know, making that culturally relevant as well. So I'm excited about seeing this more kind of biblical, interdependent model of mission giving. And the more we talk about it, then the more people will hear it, and those who have seen good stories would want to join us, to join the MFN ministry fundraising network and be part of this truly kind of diverse movement of people who are passionate about seeing the body of Christ function as one, supporting, sending, funding mission from everywhere to everywhere. And I just want to close with a few words from Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, which reminds us that mission is ultimately about a global family worshiping together before God. And you know, verse 9 in chapter 7 says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands." You know, a multitude of people from every tribe, from every people, from every nation. And this includes, these people are the people who can give, who have given, who will continue to give in whatever way God leads them. So if we align really our resources, all what we do in terms of fundraising with this vision, then we can see kind of mission funding become more sustainable and more just for the whole world and more impactful. Mm-hmm. You know, God has given us this beautiful vision. We are part of this movement of people. And I think our role is to inspire and encourage and enable everyone who belongs to the body of Christ to support the mission of Christ.
Amen.
Thank you.
Redina, thank you so much for your insight you shared today with us. Thank you. If you'd like to learn more about Redina's work at Lausanne's efforts in resource mobilization, check out the links in our show notes. And as always, if you found this episode helpful, share it with your church or mission team. Let's keep this conversation going. Redina, once again, thank you so much for being here today with us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Felix.
And for all of you, thanks for listening. And until next time, stay inspired and engaged in God's mission. Bye.
Danke für Ihr Interesse und dass Sie so Teil von Gottes Mission sind. Wenn Ihnen der Podcast gefällt, dann abonnieren Sie ihn gerne oder schreiben Sie uns eine Bewertung. Damit helfen Sie, dass noch mehr in Gottes weltweites Wirken mit hineingenommen werden. Übrigens, dieser Podcast ist werbefrei und kostenlos und das bleibt er auch. Die Arbeiten der Allianzmission werden ermöglicht durch Spenden. Unterstützen auch Sie uns gerne mit Ihrer Spende unter allianzmission.de/spenden.